Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 36, A New Beginning. I am one of your co-hosts, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my new co-host, the Codemaster, Cody Martin.
How's it going, folks?
Cody, good to have you here, replacing one Mr. Chris Slate, who is no longer with us.
Well, I mean, I don't think I could ever replace Chris Slate, so let's not go that far. But I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be hosting with you the Power Pros Podcast.
And for those who don't know, you actually were part of the Nintendo Power crew. You were never on, the full actual editorial staff, but you were an intern with us for a long time. And then after that, we brought you on as a freelancer, and you helped out with all kinds of things.
Yep, that's true. I was an intern for a year with you guys, and then I freelanced for a little bit over a year after that until the magazine ended. So I had, I think, at least one piece of work in each of the last 25 issues. So, Yeah, I mean, I definitely spent, at least 2 years of my life with you guys, and definitely learned a lot. So,
yeah, I mean, it was great to have you there. And it was always nice to be able to bring in an extra outsider to help out on the articles we were doing each month. And that was really great. I think for sure if Nintendo Power continued, you probably would have ended up as a full-timer on staff. But obviously that's just how the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, obviously, that was the goal in mind, but it was, great to be able to have the chance to write for the magazine. So I was really just grateful to have that experience. But, I've always been a Nintendo fan pretty much since, I could walk. So it was a no-brainer for sure.
It's good to hear. What were, some of the takeaways that you got from your time at Nintendo Power?
Obviously I learned, I gained a lot more video game knowledge in general, I think. Both Nintendo and otherwise, but and then of course I learned a lot about writing and about the video game industry, I honestly feel that Nintendo Power is one of the main reasons I feel like a really strong writer today, just being criticized, having my work criticized on a regular basis like that really, I think, helped me to improve and to stay on top of it. And a copy editor can really only take you so far, so you've got to put your life into it. And I feel like that was one of the strongest takeaways.
Any important facts that you picked up while you were there?
Well, thanks to you, I learned, yes, that Cody Travers is the character from Final Fight, and Cody Rhodes is the WWF wrestler.
Very good. We have taught you well.
Yes, I knew I wouldn't let you down. I learned about Captain N. That was an interesting thing that isn't, that exists. And then also, speaking of facts, I was going to say, I learned that a Wii remote is actually, or a Wiimote, as the kids say, is actually called a Wii remote controller. And I learned that a 3DS is a Nintendo 3DS handheld system.
Yes, you don't want to make those mistakes, or else you will earn the wrath of the Nintendo Ninjas.
Exactly. So I also... Oh, yes. More facts. I learned about the Nintendo Ninjas. So
we're not supposed to talk about the Nintendo Ninjas. Okay, Didn't you know that?
Dang it.
Shh. Very quiet.
Moving on, then.
Yeah, anyway, you picked a great week to join the podcast, because it's actually a really fun and exciting time in the world of Nintendo. First and foremost, we have Fire Emblem Fates coming out in just a couple of days. Project X Zone 2, I believe, just came out today. And the North American Nintendo account just went live. You can go to accounts.nintendo.com and sign up for it. You can't really do anything with it once you sign up, as far as I can tell. But, this is the big unified account system that's been, such a long time coming. And, hey, you can finally sign up for it and be ready for whenever, its other features kick into effect. So That's all pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about the Nintendo account. I mean, you know, people have been complaining forever about how Nintendo doesn't have a unified account system. Well, obviously not forever, but since as long as there has been unified account systems, so
it's been a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely, definitely a nice to see Nintendo taking that step finally.
So yeah, lots of cool stuff going on this week. But, you know, what I think personally I'm even more excited about is that it's only a few weeks away until The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD comes to Wii U. And, you know, in the time that, you know, we've had since our last episode, some more details have been revealed about that game. Specifically, we found out that there is a new item called the Ghost Lantern, and that's going to help you track down those, you know, really super annoying Poes that you need to restore that dude in town back to, spoilers, don't want to spoil that. But it comes in very helpful for tracking down those Poes. We found out there's going to be stamps hidden throughout Hyrule, so that's giving you some extra reasons to explore every nook and cranny. And then we found out that there will indeed be a hero mode, a more difficult mode, and that will feature the flipped world. So it will include both the GameCube map with left-handed Link, and then the Wii map, the hero mode, with right-handed Link. So you get the best of both worlds. You know, that was the thing about the Wii and the GameCube version is that, you know, one was a mirror of the other, but now you got both of them in one game, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad they decided to make that move. You know, it would have been sacrilege to the Zelda fans had they gone with one or the other. You know, people who were fans of the GameCube release or the Wii release would be, you know, feel betrayed by that. So,
But more than that, I feel like it just would have been, you know, such a missed opportunity to not include both.
Well, yeah,
it just would have been, you know, kind
of
silly.
Of course.
But yes, I'm super glad to have them both in there. I mean, personally, the GameCube one is the one that I'm more excited about because, you know, I've played through the Wii version so many times, but I've never actually 100% gone through the GameCube version. So if they only included one, that would have been the one I was pulling for. And, you know, that is the main mode, I guess you would say, in this one. But I'm really happy that they're both in there. That is going to be fantastic. And that comes out on March 4th. So that should be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, wow. I didn't know it was coming up that soon. So, I mean, I'm pretty stoked for it, too. I think I don't remember if I told you this, but I have to admit I've never beaten Twilight Princess.
You have told me. I believe you said you stopped at the final dungeon for some reason.
Yes, I stopped at the final dungeon. I don't remember why I stopped, but I did. And then I went back to finally beat it, and the disc was scratched. So
that's terrible.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and re-beat the game because by this point I've, you know, almost forgotten it. So definitely going to go back and beat it, or at least try to.
So you're going to pick up the HD version then?
Yep, I think so.
All right, excellent. Now, something that you can go out and play right now is all of the new content for Super Smash Bros. For Wii U and Nintendo 3DS. That came out like right as we were recording our last episode, and we hadn't actually had a chance to go hands-on when we did the recording of the podcast, but now it's out, and I've finally been able to download Corrin as well as Bayonetta and get all the new costumes and all that good stuff, and it's been pretty darn fun. Have you had a chance to play it much?
You know what? I actually have not gotten a chance to dig into much of it.
What a pity.
Yeah, I do want to get the Geno costume, though. You know, because I want to show Nintendo some support for showing my man Geno some love, because, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm a big Super Mario RPG fan myself.
Well, that's been out for like a month or so. You got no excuse for that one, man. He came out along with Cloud.
Yeah, I know. I've just been behind, you know, on doing that, but I do mean to pick it up at some point, so that one, if nothing else, I mean, I definitely want to, you know, pick up Cloud. I mean, I want to get all of them, realistically. You know,
buy it all in a bundle.
Well, yeah. I mean, I got to have a complete game. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the rumor on the streets is that the Nintendo NX could see a Super Smash Bros., you know, 4, but as a complete edition for the NX, so
it could. We talked about that last time.
Okay.
You know, I don't know how much faith we should be placing in that rumor.
Yeah.
It's possible.
I mean, yeah.
But, you know, it's all available right now without having to wait. You know, Might as well grab it while it's hot, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
But still, I've been having a lot of fun with the characters so far. Not as much fun as I'd want. I'm not saying that's because the characters are bad or anything. I'm saying that because I've actually been fairly sick for a lot of the last week and just, you know, haven't really been able to sit down with a fighting game. It's just not the kind of thing I like to play when I'm feeling under the weather. But I like both characters. I really like Bayonetta's smash attacks with these, you know, giant, demon fists that come out of nowhere. I don't like her final smash because even after you, you know, get the ball and execute it, you still have to, you know, track down your opponents and beat the crap out of them. I feel like I do like her more, though, than Corrin. But I think she also takes a little bit more time to learn. But her combos seem fun. Her chain attacks seem fun. I mean, all of Corrin's stuff seems fun as well. I love, you know, jabbing people with his spear and impaling them on the ground. His up attack seems highly useful. So, I mean, if I were you, I wouldn't wait. I would jump on these guys. We can come over and beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Well, we could always beat the crap out of each other at your house, I suppose, because, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm pretty salty that a space in Smash Brothers, you know, was reserved for yet another Fire Emblem character instead of, like, I don't know, like, another character, I don't know, just from another franchise. But, I mean, and of course, I was personally rooting for Shovel Knight to get that indie to get that indie representation, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's never going to make it until that game becomes a hit in Japan.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
There wasn't really much of a shot for him, I'm afraid.
I guess that's true, yeah.
But still, I think what they've got there is pretty darn robust.
Well, we got Geno as a costume, so hopefully next time we can get him as a character. Come on, Square Enix, let's show Geno some more love.
Speaking of Square Enix, it's interesting to note that I think 2 weeks ago, Final Fantasy Tactics Advance made its way to the Virtual Console on Wii U. And what's interesting about that is that Square Enix has kind of been away from Virtual Console for a while. We haven't been really getting their games on Wii U, but boom. We got Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, and, you know, hopefully that means the doors are going to open for some of their other Game Boy Advance games, or maybe some of their, hit Super Nintendo or NES games, you know, to finally have those on Wii U as well. Obviously, you know, a lot of them were available on Wii, but, you know, that didn't make the jump over to Wii U. So it's cool to see that Tactics Advance is there, and maybe that would open the door to something else. Were you a fan of that one by any chance?
You know what? I did play some Tactics, and I really liked what I played. So, I mean, I'm definitely, I mean, it's a sign of more good things to come, I hope. Because, as you mentioned, they've been away from Virtual Console for a while.
I mean, it's no guarantee of anything.
Yeah, but, I mean, I own the game on GBA, but now I can just, you know, fire it up on my Wii U if I want to just get that real quick. And then it's on a big screen. So I think if I was going to replay or play through Final Fantasy Tactics Advance all the way, I would definitely just get it for Wii U and play it on there.
And another surprise release on Virtual Console was Kuru 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 Rin. Are you familiar with that one?
I have no idea.
Man, I can't believe we'll let you be our intern. That was actually a launch title for the Game Boy Advance in Japan. And I don't blame you for not knowing it, seriously, because it is pretty darn obscure. It came out alongside the hardware in Japan, but it didn't come out in the U.S. And it's this game where you basically play this rotating stick, and you have to guide it through a maze and through all these obstacles, and you don't want to collide with the walls, so you have to time your movements properly to twist past all the obstacles and make your way to the end of this maze. But lo and behold, here it is on the U.S. Virtual Console. So, people, have probably never played the series, don't know anything about it. I don't think it's mind-blowing or anything. It was, pretty decent back in the day. But it's a very interesting curiosity, and I'm happy to see it finally being playable stateside.
Nice. Well, Not going to lie on that either, but I will not be getting it. I got to save my money for things like Twilight Princess HD.
Personally, I'm hoping that, you know, this is a sign that, you know, they're going to be bringing over more Japanese exclusive things like, you know, God forbid, Mother 3. Yeah, that was another rumor that popped up a couple of, you know, a week or two ago. And, you know, a year or two ago, I would have said, no way, this is impossible. But that was before Earthbound Beginnings showed up on Wii U Virtual Console. So I think that Mother 3 is actually a very strong candidate as something that will finally come to North America sometime in the nebulous future. Would you at least pay for that one?
You know what? I would have to beat the original Earthbound first to do that. So I do own Earthbound on Wii U, but haven't gotten a chance to get all the way through it. Just got too much to play, so...
Well, I did pick up both of those on Virtual Console, Earthbound Beginnings and Earthbound. I admit I have not beat them myself, but that would not stop me from getting Mother 3, that's for sure.
Well, I do know that Nintendo Power readers would be proud, because if I recall correctly, people were at one point pounding on Nintendo Power's door.
Oh, well, they were doing that for a long, long time. Yes, definitely.
A Mother 3 announcement, right? Yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean, they were after, you know, Earthbound in all its forms. They really wanted it to come out on Wii Virtual Console. I would, you know, do that monthly poll for what the most wanted Virtual Console games were. And eventually I had to start making it, you know, specific genres that did not include RPGs. Cause otherwise, every month it was like Earthbound, Earthbound, Earthbound. And I'm like, well, I mean, that's good that everyone's Earthbound, but it kind of makes for a boring list if it's exactly the same every month. And unfortunately, that, you know, that game was not coming out. So I was kind of like, okay, you know, what's the most wanted shooter? And of course, I'd still get people saying that they wanted Mother as the most wanted shooter. Someone was obviously listening, because Earthbound and Earthbound Beginnings did come out. And, hopefully we'll complete the trifecta with Mother 3. But speaking of Mother 3, I do remember that one time at the back of the issue, we, sort of claimed that, our big surprise for the next issue would be Mother 3, and then we said, just kidding, and we probably said a whole bunch of other things, like it was Kingdom Hearts, just kidding, and... I think we still drove people crazy with that tease, even though it was obvious we were totally just making a joke. And if anybody thought that that would be taken the other way, Nintendo would never have let us get away with it. But it was fun to do, because just saying Mother 3 would drive people into such a frenzy.
More like cruel to do to all those poor Earthbound fans.
So there's only one thing that would prevent me from getting Mother 3 right away, and that is if I am totally and utterly flat broke. And I think that's a very distinct possibility, because coming soon to the 3DS are going to be Mega Man themes and Mega Man badges in the badge arcade. Actually, I should say there's Rockman ones. These have not been confirmed for North America yet, but they're definitely coming out in Japan, and, you know, I would say that it's certain that they will end up coming to North America. But, man, if they do, you know, I've tried to stay away from the badge arcade stuff. You know, I spent a bit when it first came out, and, you know, I was spending more than I would have liked. Yeah, Nintendo really trying to get me into this gambling thing, and just keep pouring in money to get their various character badges for all this stuff. But I've been pretty good over the last few months about not spending any money unless I really had to. You know, once in a while there was something that was really cool, like there were these Mario sprites in a suit for New Year's. I think I had to spend a little something to get some of those. But if they come out with Mega Man ones, I'm just going to go nuts. I'm going to probably spend whatever it takes to get my hands on all of these. And that could be very dangerous for me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've never really been one for themes on really anything.
Well, the themes aren't so bad, because those are only a couple bucks a pop and they're finite. But with the badges, man, they can just, you know... They're going to nickel and dime the heck out of me, and I'm going to totally be a sucker for it.
Yeah, I definitely... I mean, I get the allure, totally. I mean, I get tempted, but at the same time, I'm like, nah, you know, I don't really care that much. So yeah, I don't buy into it, but I respect the love for it for sure.
Well, now, since we have confirmed that you are a hater and a cheapskate, I am wondering if you are at all interested in this other rumor we've heard recently about the new Nintendo Selects titles. Supposedly, there are going to be new, cheaper re-releases of many Nintendo titles for 3DS, Wii U, as well as Wii, strangely enough, coming out on March 11th. Supposedly, these titles include, on the Nintendo 3DS, Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, Mario Party Island Tour, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D, Yoshi's New Island, on Wii U, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, Super Mario 3D World, NES Remix Pack, and Pikmin 3. And then on Wii, which it's really weird to see, you know, that there are could be Wii re-releases in this day and age, which kind of makes me think that this rumor could just have been something that somebody cooked up in Photoshop or something. I don't know. Donkey Kong Country Returns, continuing the Gorilla Love. Super Mario Galaxy 2, Animal Crossing City Folk, and Super Mario All-Stars. These have been listed at $30 Canadian, which would probably mean they would be $20 in U.S. currency if this does indeed happen. So would you want to get any of those?
I mean, I've already got Ocarina of Time 3D, which is, you know, what my eyes immediately shift to.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that could be great for a lot of people, because that game in physical form is almost impossible to get now. I mean, you can still get it in the eShop, but if you've been hunting for a physical copy, you know, that'd be awesome to see that be released again.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, it's great that they're going to be re-releasing this stuff, you know, at cheaper prices. I mean, I'm all for that, for sure. You know, being a cheapskate and all, of course.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I never did get Super Mario 3D World, so I would honestly consider that.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a no-brainer.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think I'd be getting any of these either. You know, I have most of them to begin with. I even have Mario Party Island Tour, which, you know, is sort
Lucky
of
you.
Mediocre. I think the only one I don't have, actually, is Animal Crossing City Folk. I guess I don't have NES Remix Pack either, but I do have NES Remix 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of already set there. The other one that's interesting to me on the list, though, is Super Mario All-Stars. Because, you know, when that came out, it was basically, you know, just a ROM dump of the old Super NES game onto a Wii disc. And it's like, okay, here we are. We're done with it. And, you know,
yeah, that was for, like, the anniversary release and everything, right?
Yeah, that was the previous anniversary for that. I guess the 25th anniversary. And it was like just a bare bones port. You know, they could have put it out on a virtual console, but instead they put it out on a disc. Now, it did come with bonus materials. It came with a book, and it came with a music CD. And if those are still included, then that's awesome. And, you know, they can just be like, okay, it's the, you know, 31st anniversary edition now or something, and here's another chance to get this stuff. If it's not included and you're just getting the bare bones game disc for $20, then I think it's kind of lame, and Nintendo should think of another way to get those games to people. Psst, by that I mean virtual console.
So yeah, basically the point is I hope Super Mario All-Stars is a worthy Nintendo Select re-release.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah, I think you feel the same people. Way, right?
I hope so. I mean, it wasn't really a worthy release to begin with.
Well, in some ways.
Well, I mean, it was on the Super NES. It wasn't really on the Wii. Okay. Like I said, just a quick and dirty
round up.
I mean, I probably gave the game like a 9.5 in the magazine or something. Because, you know, it's four of the greatest games of all time. But I feel like it deserves better than just being put onto a disc. I mean, the way that Virtual Console is now, it has more features than, you know, what's included in this, you know, on-disc compilation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, we'll see if any of this is true, but it'll be interesting to see how the Mario All-Stars plays out, especially.
Definitely.
In addition to that, a bunch of details leaked out about My Nintendo. My Nintendo, of course, is the successor to Club Nintendo, the rewards program that died a horrible and agonizing death. Was that just last year?
You know what? I think it was.
I think it was.
To expand on that, I hardly remembered it was there with the, you know, lackluster gifts they were giving out for the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. It was alive, so.
Yeah, it started out pretty strong, but then it became very weak with fairly lame prizes. I mean, I know they're freebies, but come on. If you're having people fill out these forms and give out all this information, you know, and invest this time to do this stuff, you should really give out some sort of, quality rewards. You know, I think it was Einstein's theory of relativity that proved that time is money. And if he were still around today, he could probably prove that information is money as well. And so, giving Nintendo all this info about your gaming habits is, you know, it's worth something.
But at the same time, it was generous for them to offer anything at all. I mean, you know, considering I don't know of any other, you know, console maker that had a program like that in recent years, so.
You make a good point, Codemaster.
I mean, so, at the same time, it's cool that they gave anything at all, you know, until they didn't, so.
Well, they will once again, once My Nintendo launches. It's supposed to hit next month. And, you know, the biggest takeaway from that is that there are going to be two kinds of points. There will be gold points and platinum points. And apparently the gold points are earned for making digital purchases and can be redeemed for, coupons and discounts. And from what I gather, it's kind of like the Digital Deluxe program that launched alongside the Wii U. You spend some money on a game, you get 10% back, and you save some money on a future purchase, and everyone's happy.
Yeah, I think I got 30 bucks from that thing. That was awesome.
Yeah, and then platinum points are apparently awarded for, like, actions you take in games or in apps. I'm not entirely sure how that's going to work, but those are things going to be redeemed for prizes. Including some of your favorites, such as themes and avatar gear.
Ah.
Presumably by avatar gear, they mean stuff for your Mii.
What? I thought it was, Avatar The Last Airbender? Come on, bro.
Sorry, no.
Damn it.
Nor is it the Avatar feature film. And presumably that's, you know, what you'll use to get the physical goods as well. And, this news broke, more than a week ago. I don't want to harp on it too much because it's not exactly the freshest thing in the drawer. But, I'll be looking forward to that next month. And, you know, the signing up for the Nintendo account that just went live in North America is probably the first step for that. So, again, it's going to just be free stuff if you do this. So, why wouldn't you want to?
Yeah, totally.
Now, it's definitely no secret that Miitomo, Nintendo's mobile game, is launching next month as well. And you'll be able to pre-register for that through the Nintendo account, presumably very, very soon. We interrupt this podcast with a special bulletin. Pre-registration is now open for Miitomo. I repeat, pre-registration is now open for Miitomo. Are you looking forward to this game at all?
To be completely honest, not really. No.
you don't want to have your Miis mingle with other people's Miis and learn exciting trivia about one another?
I mean, honestly, I'll definitely give it a go just because it's Nintendo's.
And it's free.
And it's free, of course, yeah.
There's no risk involved.
Right, and it's, you know, this new Nintendo mobile game. So, I mean, this is, you know, they're dipping their feet into mobile gaming, so I mean, of course, mm-hmm. I'm gonna check out and see what they're gonna do, you know, just being a Nintendo enthusiast. So I'll check it out.
Maybe this will get you more excited. As they were talking about this, they gave some examples of the kinds of questions that the Miis might talk about and discuss, not in disgust. I mean, maybe you will do this in disgust. I don't know. We'll see when the game comes out. But
I'm sure there will be quite a few conversations like that.
There might be. But okay, we're gonna try this right now. We're gonna be pretending that we are Armies discussing these topics, such as what song has been stuck in your head lately, Codemaster? Come on, give me some.
God damn it.
I will give you my answer, because there's a song that is always running through my head, and that is the Dr. Wily Stage 1 music from Mega Man 2.
I was going to say probably She's Fresh by Kool and the Gang. Don't ask me why. Well, okay, I don't really have a reason that's why.
Do you believe in aliens?
Totally.
I do not believe in aliens.
What? You're lying.
I once had lunch with Mr. T at International House of Pancakes, and I'm totally not lying about that. And Mr. T said to me, "It ain't aliens, it's the government testing weapons, fool."
Well, I mean...
Truth.
Yeah, but I believe aliens are... I mean, we're not going to go into that, you know... philosophical conversation.
But. I'm going to say they have not visited here. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. I believe that in the...
If they had, there would be some proof.
In the time that, you know...
See, maybe you're going to like this game after all.
What?
Maybe you're going to like this game after all. It seems to be propelling us into a exciting conversation.
I can force my ideals on other people through my Mii avatar. Yes!
Third example question. If you saw a nose hair sticking out of your friend's nose, what would you do?
I mean, I'd probably just say, "Hey, bro, you got a nose hair sticking out. Can you pick that?" And if they said no, I'd be like, "All right." And if they said yeah, then... Or if they, I mean, they would just pick it. They wouldn't say yeah.
Personally, I would just totally ignore it.
I mean, it has to be, you know, this is kind of a relative question, you know, like, how close of a friend is this? If this is like me and my bro, I'm going to say, "Hey, bro, you got a nose hair." But if this is like me and a, you know, some friend that I don't really feel comfortable telling them about their, you know, talking about their nose hair, obviously I'd probably... ignore it too. Unless it was really bad, then I'd be like, you know, I'd be doing some nose gestures.
Well, look at this. This is very compelling. This is the kind of drama and excitement you will get from the Miitomo app when it launches next month.
Well,
so,
I mean,
you've
clearly made
to
me
it.
A Miitomo member from this conversation. So,
now, are you a member of the Super Mario Maker Nation? Have you been keeping up with the Super Mario Maker and all of the new content in that game?
I have not been keeping up as well as I like. I love Mario Maker. But, yeah, I actually have been meaning to upload some levels and dig into some more of that new content that I've seen. But I haven't been keeping up on it a ton, so you should enlighten me.
Yeah, there's been some cool new courses that Nintendo has put up there recently. There's been a spooky ghost-themed course that lets you unlock a Professor E. Gadd costume for the Mystery Mushroom. And then, perhaps even more exciting, is that there is a Pokemon-themed level to go alongside the franchise's global 20th birthday that's coming up very soon. And in this level, it has three routes, and you can play through and get costumes of the original starter Pokemon, Charmander, Bulbasaur, and Squirtle. You do actually have to play through three times and do the three routes, I believe, to actually get all three costumes. I don't think you can do it all in one go.
Yes, I do remember hearing about this Mario Maker content now, so... Yeah, it's cool that they're adding the, you know, extra Pokemon in. I hope that, well, it's unlikely given that the other Pokemon don't make noises, but it would be cool if they, you know, allowed the, you know, Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle to have their own unique Mario noises. Like,
well, what they do is they have... I believe it does play the... the sounds that they made from the old 8-bit Pokemon.
Do they? Because I know so. Charizard and the other Pokemon did not and Pichu and Pikachu, they, or maybe Pikachu did, but the other ones didn't.
Well, I admit, when it comes to the original Pokemon sounds, my memory is a bit foggy. I mean, it does make some very, you know, Pokemon-sounding noises, but perhaps they are not the ones directly from the characters. But what's cool is that, you know, there's a full, you know, line of 10 new costumes. And we know what, you know, four of them are, Egad and the three Pokemon, but that means there's at least six more costumes. And, you know, who knows if there's going to be more down the road, but, you know, that's at least six more right there. Presumably we'll be getting them for Ryu and Roy and the other upcoming Smash Amiibo as well.
I would hope so, yeah.
But, yeah, that's certainly promising. And then in addition, there are four you know, fairly tough courses up that were came from some challenge in Japan. They're called the Tokiyagi courses. And if you want a challenge, you know, they're there. They're tough, but they're pretty cool levels from what I've seen so far. You don't get anything for beating them. You don't get a new Mystery Mushroom costume. But hey, if you want to try some fun levels, that's a great way to do it.
Nice. Yeah, I've been meaning to check out some of those challenge levels. So I'll have to check out those Tokiyagi ones as my first foray back into Super Mario Maker.
Mm-hmm. And what else has been going on recently? We had Toy Fair, the big Toy Fair out in New York. And then we had Wonderfest, which is a big, you know, toy show over in Japan. And there's actually been a lot of cool Nintendo-related stuff on display at these events. Have you been following this at all? You been paying attention to any of these?
I've been paying a little attention. I'm not super aware, but I do know that Mega Man X Nendoroid.
Yes.
Sorry. That Mega Man X Nendoroid seems really cool. I mean, I love Mega Man X, so, you know, I thought that was particularly cool.
Yeah, that's definitely a good-looking one, the Mega Man X Nendoroid. There's also a Wind Waker Zelda Nendoroid that was shown in prototype form, and that's pretty cool. Kind of surprising that she's getting one. I mean, you would think that out of all the characters in Wind Waker, you would probably do, you know, Tetra before you would do Princess Zelda, since, you know, Zelda's only in it for, I don't know, a very, very short amount of time.
Yeah, but it's Zelda. I mean, of course, right?
I guess. I mean, I would like to see Tetra get the treatment as well. She deserves some respect. She's a major character in that game.
Oh, totally.
But, you know, those characters in Wind Waker especially lend themselves really, really well to the Nendoroid aesthetic, so that's pretty cool. Both her and the Link that currently exists. On the flip side, I saw a Simon Belmont figure from Nika, and it's just plain awful.
Really?
Yes. I kind of, you know, talked a little bit about something pertaining to this figure a few episodes back, because Nika is doing some Contra action figures that look pretty darn cool. It's both Bill and Lance, or is it Mad Dog and Scorpion? But, you know, it's the, you know, original Contra duo from the NES game. They've kind of got some deco that's like, you know, sort of, you know, pixely sprite-like. But they look pretty good. I'd kind of like to see them get just, you know, a deco that looks like, you know, how they did on the box art. So, you know, just looks like, you know, normal characters, don't really look pixely or anything like that. But in the context of that unveiling, I was like, well, this is going to look really good next to these old Castlevania figures that Nika put out several years ago, like back in 2006. Has it been 10 years already? Wow, holy cow. But anyway, this new version takes the old Simon Belmont mold, doesn't update it at all, and just slaps this awful looking, you know, 8-bit pixely designs all over him, and he kind of, at best, looks like, you know, some awful 8-bit zombie. It doesn't look anything like 8-bit Simon. It doesn't look anything like the Simon artwork. It just ends up as this horrible mashup, and I do not like it one bit.
You know, speaking of Simon Belmont, why the hell isn't he a Super Smash Brothers character? That's what I would like to know. I will bet good money that Simon Belmont will be in the next iteration of Super Smash Brothers.
I would not make that bet personally. I mean, I might make it with you, but given the way that Konami has treated all of its characters, I would be pretty surprised if there was any Konami representation in the next Smash Brothers, other than maybe a pachinko machine that you know, comes on to the stage and you know, kills all your hopes and dreams from childhood.
Wow. On second thought, I totally forgot that Simon Belmont is Konami. So, yeah, I guess just pretend I never said that, question, because yeah, just pretend I did not say that.
But still, that's something that me and Slay have talked about several times, I mean, on the show.
Right.
That's one that Slay has claimed would be his most wanted third-party character. Because, you know, back in the day, Simon Belmont was, you know, so totally awesome. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, flog the dead skeletal horse. But, you know, he was a great character. And, you know, in Konami's heyday, that would have made perfect sense. And it's like, you know, one of the top, you know, or, you know, top Japanese companies, at least I would have said top Japanese companies, you know, a year or two ago. But yeah, they've kind of beaten everything into the ground. And yeah, I don't really care if Konami gets any representation in Smash Brothers or not. I feel like these days they don't deserve it.
Yeah.
But back to the toy news. There was lots of other cool stuff that does not involve pixelated vampire slayers. Figma was showing off a prototype of the long-awaited Zero Suit Samus figure. They've announced there is a Metroid Prime 3 Figma action figure. And also, we know that there is a Twilight Princess Link Figma on the way. We've seen a really cool Figma. These are, you know, a line of fairly small, you know, like 5-inch or so, but highly articulated, highly detailed action figures. They had a great Link from Skyward Sword, and so a Twilight Princess Link would be pretty darn awesome, in my opinion. And I could always go for a Zero Suit Samus, that's for sure. And then a company called Sentinel has announced a new 4-inch Mega Man line. There's going to be your basic Mega Man with swappable hands, you know, removable Buster. You can choose whether it's got, you know, Mega Man's hand or the Buster, and then he's got a swappable faceplate. Then there's also, you know, some variants on that. His power and jet outfits for Mega Man 6, his super armor for Mega Man 7, as well as a Cutman figure. Since Cutman and Mega Man feature most of the same parts, that's pretty obvious and easy reuse of the mold. And then there's going to be some Mega Man.exe figures from the Battle Network series, several versions of that. And then, to top it off, first four figures just announced recently that they are going to be releasing an Arwing statue from Star Fox 64 3D. It's going to be a massive 12 inches by 12 inches by 18 inches and will sell for $300.
Holy cow.
That was not shown at Toy Fair or Wonder Fest, but as far as I know. You know, if you're a hardcore Star Fox fan with money to burn, it's, you know, good to know about, I suppose.
I mean, you know, it probably makes sense given that anybody who's going to buy Star Fox merch, you know, they're probably dedicated fans as it is. So go big or go home is what Nintendo, or not Nintendo, Four Figures is saying.
First Four Figures, first
four
I suppose.
First Four Figures,
so.
Yes.
But, I mean, all their stuff is really expensive. You know, they keep, you know, selling these, you know, $200, $400, $500 statues. You know, I got one from Twilight Princess of Link on his horse, and it is awesome. It is great, but damn, was it expensive. It's not something that you know, I can afford to do very often.
Yeah.
If you had any money to spare, though, would you want to get any of these newly announced figures from Toy Fair or Wonder Fest or anywhere else?
You know what? Honestly, I just don't have the space to store more figurines and stuff.
Well, fair enough.
I hate to rain on your awesome toy parade because it does seem like some really cool stuff is coming out. I mean, if I did have the space, I would probably pick up the Mega Man X Nendoroid. but at the same time, not going to do it for me.
Okay. Well, just one more thing before we take our intermission. And this is not exactly, you know, cutting-edge breaking news, but it's something that we haven't talked about on the show before, and that is that there is a Fire Emblem Awakening art book coming out later this year from Dark Horse. So, you know, if you're a Fire Emblem fan, you know, it's available for pre-order on Amazon. Go and check it out. It's probably going to be pretty darn awesome.
You know, I really do like the artwork from Fire Emblem. They have, you know, an awesome art team. I wish I knew the name of the animator, but I sadly don't. I've actually been meaning to play through a Fire Emblem Awakening personally, but
Yes, you better hurry up. Fates is almost out.
I know. I wasn't a Fire Emblem fan, but I do own Awakening, and I did really enjoy what I played of it. So yeah.
Okay. Well, that was a lot of news. We're going to take a little intermission, and you know, we didn't mention what our big topic this week is going to be, but it will be what we call comfort games, games that you go back to time and time again. You know, I've been having a bit of a rough week with my being sick and with my former co-host throwing sand in my face and abandoning me. So I've been thinking about, you know, games that are a bit more comforting to play recently. And after the intermission, we will talk about that in detail. Okay, we are back, and we're here to talk about our big Nintendo topic this week, which is something we're calling comfort games. What are the games that you can reliably return to again and again? We just want something that's nice and familiar, and you know, you can enjoy over and over again. Something that's really replayable and fun when you you need something to you know, give a little bit of comfort. You know, it's kind of like comfort food, only you don't put it in your mouth. Probably. I don't know about you, Codemaster, but I'm going to start with one of my all-time favorites, that being Chrono Trigger.
Yes, Chrono Trigger. I actually knew you were going to say that.
Well, Chrono Trigger, you know, it's one of the all-time great RPGs, in my opinion. It keeps things, you know, fairly simple from a gameplay perspective. It doesn't have, you know, super duper deep systems. You know, gain new abilities simply by leveling up. You know, it does have these, you know, team up combo attacks, but that's not anything you really have to worry about investing time or effort in. Just, you know, you play the game, you level up, and everything else sort of comes naturally. You know, you get this great story, you get, you know, this small but really interesting cast of characters, and, you know,
awesome,
because there
soundtrack.
Aren't... Yeah, it has that too. And also, because it doesn't have random battles, you know, it's usually, that means you don't have to worry about grinding. The difficulty is usually really set for, you know, the enemy encounters you should have, you know, had up to this point, and as long as you're not skipping out on enemy encounters, then you'll be up to strength, and you'll be able to just sort of, you know, coast through the game.
Yeah, it's such a simple mechanic, but I don't know. I've always found RPGs more relaxing to play when you're not constantly worried about you know, I'm going to be walking through this field to just quickly, you know, heal my party. Hopefully I don't run into a, or get a random encounter. So.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, this holds even more true if you are playing the game in New Game Plus mode, because then your characters are, you know, super powerful and, you know, you can carve through some of the early enemies and bosses like they're nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you've already beaten the game. You don't have to worry about what's going to come next. You get a chance at, you know, some cool extra endings. So, yeah,
That's definitely true. That's like the only thing you have to worry about is going back to, you know, that spot at the beginning of the game to take the warp portal to get those extra endings, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, I would reckon that a lot of people's comfort games include games like Chrono Trigger or other sort of, you know, those that SNES era of RPGs when the it's simplistic, you know, the but in a good way, in a they're charming games, you know. So I can definitely see why Chrono Trigger would be a comfort game for a lot of people, including you.
Yeah, I mean, it has the complexity where it's important, which you know, is not in the gameplay systems. The gameplay systems just come, you know, super, super naturally. And yeah, there are lots of reasons to replay it. Like you said, all those extra endings and things.
Definitely.
And it's just great to see all the character relationships. And, you know, it's some of the, you know, I might almost say it's like the pinnacle of, you know, 16-bit Super NES art. It's just one of the best-looking games of its time, no pun intended.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people would agree, me included, so.
But as much as I like that Super Nintendo version, it's probably the DS version that I go back to over and over again. For one thing, of course, it's portable, so, you know, even if I'm, you know, having a bad day and I've been sick all week, like, you know, I have been recently, it's just easy to curl up in bed and, you know, play it there on my my 3DS or my DS.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think RPGs, if we're just talking about comfort games in general, I think RPGs are a great comfort game, you know, just as a genre. They're a great comfort genre, honestly, because, you know, it's like cuddling up with a good book in a way. Because, you know,
I mean, I think it depends on the game, perhaps.
Yeah, it definitely depends. Of course, it definitely depends on the game. You know, obviously, you wouldn't be, you know, playing, I don't know, I can't think of a good example right now, but there, you know, I would just say as a genre, more often than not, they're a comfort game genre. You know, you they're a great game for, or a great genre for when you're playing, you know, like on a rainy day, or you're snowed in, or you just really want to sink your teeth into something, or like you said, you know, when you're sick, and you just, you know, some people like to watch TV when they're sick, you know, some people, I think RPGs are an outlet for that as well. So
I think it does work better with games that don't have random battles, because a random attack, you know, it's not really something I would consider, you know, comforting necessarily. So I think I would probably put games like Chrono Trigger and, you know, like Super Mario RPG on this list, over, you know, some of the Final Fantasy titles, for example.
Yeah, definitely. You're definitely right. Especially when, you know, the familiarity with those games also helps a lot. You know, for an example, in, I mean, Final Fantasy VI, it's a great game.
I love it. But, one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, but I don't know, just the amount of random encounters you get in that game combined with, I don't know, I think what I'm trying to say is that there's something to be said for a stable cast of characters where you've sort of got them at your disposal, which doesn't really happen until way later in Final Fantasy VI, you know? I mean, you're kind of jumping around a little bit. I don't know, maybe I'm going down the wrong direction with this, but
I don't know. I mean, to each their own. I mean, Final Fantasy VI would probably, you know, be somewhere up there on my list of comfort games. But, you know, as far as RPGs go, the handheld version of Chrono Trigger, I think, would be my my top selection.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Well, speaking of RPGs, one of my biggest comfort games is actually the pretty much any of the games in the Pokemon series, I guess, would technically be considered a comfort game for me, but more so than others, it would definitely be, you know, the original Pokemon games, specifically Pokemon Red, because that was the one that I played. Mm-hmm. Or Pokemon Gold, because I also really enjoyed that one. And then more broadly, I mean, Pokemon Heart Gold, right now I'm playing Pokemon Alpha Sapphire, making my first playthrough on that one. But yeah, I mean, just Pokemon in general, I think, is a game that it's really easy to just pick up and play. You know, you don't have to figure a ton out in regards to where you're going, because you just sort of orient yourself and then head in a direction, and you've got your Pokemon team. And I mean, that's literally what I just did with Pokemon Alpha Sapphire. I hadn't played in like a year, and then I picked up the game about a week ago, and I've just been playing it ever since. And I mean, yeah, it was a little disorienting, like picking up any game after not playing it for a year would be.
Yeah, totally.
Right? So, but yeah, I mean, it only took me like 5 minutes to figure out where I was and where I was going.
That's always an important thing in RPGs.
Yeah, and I'm not super familiar with Gen 3. I mean, this is a common theme for me, clearly, to anyone who's listening, but I like to start games, get a little ways through, and then I forget about them because there's so many games I have to play, right? So I played Pokemon Emerald for a while, so I knew what I was doing up to a point, and then I hadn't, and then I played Alpha Sapphire up to that point, and then I left off for whatever reason, and then forgot what I was doing. But I mean, again, it only took me like 5 minutes to figure out what I was doing, and I just continued playing. It's you can do whatever you want pretty much while you can play Pokemon while you watch TV, or you know, it's a very at your pace kind of game. You know what I'm saying?
This is very true. And of course it's got, you know, that super appealing, you know, classic artwork that you know, so many people love, those you know, great classic character designs. And you know, it's you know, something that started a phenomenon. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm nostalgic for it because I started back when, you know, the original games came out, and I, you know, stopped playing like Gen 3 through Gen 5, and then I picked it up in Gen 6 again. That's if you don't count Heart Gold and Soul Silver in Gen 4, because I did buy Heart Gold. But yeah, so Pokemon in general is definitely one of my comfort games, just because I could pick up any Pokemon game and pretty much just be comforted by playing it, just because it's, you know, all the games have the exact same basic formula with a, you know, more added to it, essentially.
Yeah, I can see that generation. That familiarity, I think, is one of the key things that you know, makes you want to go back to a series or a game time and time again. And that's something that Pokemon does better than, you know, just about anything else out there.
Exactly.
Is you know, relying on a good, solid, but familiar formula. Well, another big, you know, comfort game for me would be Ace Attorney. And I guess, kind of like you were saying about Pokemon, I could probably apply this to any game in the Ace Attorney series. And I suppose that some people might think that Ace Attorney is a weird choice for a game that you'd come back to again and again, because, you know, it's very straightforward and linear, you know, even more so than something like an RPG like Pokemon or Chrono Trigger, where you sort of are going down the set path, you know what you're doing, and it's all menu-driven. You know, this, you know, it's very much a text adventure for the most part. And you know, you could say, well, why would you want to replay that again? I mean, I guess for one thing, you know, I try to space it out so I'm not going back to the same game in the series too often. You know, I try to give it, you know, a year or two between times that I play through it. And hopefully by then I've, you know, forgotten some of the particular nuances. So when I get to a puzzle, I don't recognize the answer immediately, and that I can get, you know, more enjoyment out of that. But I guess the other part of it is that It is, you know, it's like a book or it's like a movie. Sure, it's the same every time, but, you know, it's really, really well written. It's got, you know, really, really likable characters. And again, it's not exactly, you know, threatening. It's just something that I'm really able to get into and enjoy and have fun with. Even if it is something that, you know, I've read before and I know the outcome of. And so for that reason, I am able to keep going back to it. And the other thing, I guess, is that once in a while, I even find a part that, you know, I never saw before. Like, there's some dialogue branch. I'm like, you know what? I've done this game so many times, I'm totally going to pick the wrong answer this time just for fun. And I do that. It's like, oh, this is actually hilarious.
Oh, totally. I love doing that with my comfort games. You know, it's, you can do, you already know what's going to happen, so you can do it differently or explore the game differently. You know, you enjoyed it. You've enjoyed it a certain way so many times. You want to take it another way and see how that way is going to go. You know, throw whatever at it and see what sticks, because, you know, it's a game that you're comfortable with not taking, you know, you're comfortable with not taking the defined path for you.
Yeah, I think one of the last times I played, I, you know, tried showing some items to Detective Gumshoe, he being the, you know, somewhat incompetent detective who you run into on many, many occasions. And I, you know, showed him this item that, you know, there's no reason to show it to him whatsoever. And he, like, takes it and puts it in his mouth because he thinks it's candy or something. It just totally cracked me up. And I'd never seen that before in all the other times I had played the game. So it's always neat to come across things like that.
Yeah, totally.
Another one on my list, and I suppose this shouldn't be any surprise to anyone, would be The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
Yes.
I mean, it's just one of my all-time favorite games, period, so it makes sense that's one that I can come back to again and again. But the thing about A Link to the Past that I really like is, you know, it's got, you know, such great diversity in its dungeons and items. You know, it has really great balance between its puzzles and its combat. And I suppose, you know, the world is, you know, it seems like just the perfect size to me. You can sort of remember where everything is and, you know, keep everything in order. You know, sort of remember where all the pieces of heart are. You know, there's only, is it 24 of them, I think, in that game, which, you know, doesn't seem like too many, doesn't seem like too little, just enough to easily get your head around and to be able to be like, yes, yes, this is, you know, totally manageable, and I can, you know, just keep going back to it again and again.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, it's a very charming story as well, and, you know, that classic Zelda formula.
Yeah, and it's another one of those games that you can sort of, you know, after you've played it a couple of times, take it however you want to take it.
Yeah, I guess the only part that you know, I wouldn't classify as being comforting is that darn boss fight at the top of Hera's Tower against the Moldurm, because I tend to get, you know, knocked into the pit and have to redo the fight over and over again. That can get a little frustrating. But that aside, you know, I still think it is, you know, one of the best games ever made. Maybe, you know, the best game ever, in my opinion, possibly, depending on my mood. Again, like Chrono Trigger, fantastic art, fantastic music, and, you know, it's a quest you can really sink your teeth into. And, again, just the way that the whole, you know, world is portrayed, I guess the light world, obviously, more than the dark world, you know, it is just a very charming, uplifting place to be. And, you know, playing as Link and, you know, battling the forces of darkness, the, you know, mysterious bad guys that have taken over the castle and branded him as a wanted man, a traitor. You know, that's something that's also just, you know, fun and enjoyable to get into.
Yeah, totally. It's a great game, and I can absolutely see why Link to the Past would be a comfort game for you.
What else is on your list?
Well, you know, we haven't mentioned any platformers yet, and one of my favorite platformers
Platformers are great.
Yeah, I mean, Super Mario World is my personal favorite of the Mario bunch.
That is an excellent choice.
Yes, it was actually one of my first games, and I don't know. It's just, again, really familiar, and it's a game I can do really well. I can, and that's a versatile game. You know, you can unlock secret paths and go different ways if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, that was the great thing about that game, is that was one of the first ones that allowed you to have, you know, these multiple routes through these nonlinear worlds.
Right. I mean, outside of the whistles in Super Mario Brothers 3, right?
So. Yeah, I mean, Mario 3, you know, had that overhead world map, but there really weren't any secret exits from the levels.
Right.
So it was, it felt just a little more, you know, predetermined. But the fact that you can go back to previous levels and, you know, try things out again, you know, hope to find something new you didn't find the first time, I think that makes it really, really replayable and, you know, encourages you to come back and give it another go.
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason why I use it so much in Super Mario Maker is because of that reason, is because I have such a strong, you know, love for the game, and probably has roots back to, you know, that versatility, just because I'm really into that sort of aspect with games. I like to, especially with games that I've played more than once, you know, just testing to see if it can go any other ways or answering questions differently, like you said, with Ace Attorney.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, I mean, actually, to correct myself, one of my first games was Super Mario All-Stars. So I was so I was exposed to all the Marios, all of the Marios throughout the, you know, mid-80s to the early 90s.
Was this the Wii version we were talking about earlier?
No, I'm not that young, Mr. Hoffman. This was on Super Nintendo. So,
oh, right.
So, yeah, I mean, out of all five of those was it five? Super Mario,
yes.
Yeah.
Four in All-Stars plus Mario World.
Yeah. And, yeah, so Super Mario World was just my favorite out of those, and that's the one that I found myself returning to more and more often than the others. So, yeah, I mean, just that familiarity, and I feel like it is the most
user-friendly of the classic Mario games. And for me, you know, it is by far my favorite 2D Mario game.
Yeah, obviously same here. So, and I mean, I just think platformers in general, if you've beaten them once or you're familiar with it and you had a good time with it, I think platformers are one of those games that could lend themselves well to the comfort game category.
Sure.
I guess another one that comes to mind for me would be Shovel Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Just because I really, really enjoyed that game. And I found myself, I've returned to it a few times now. So it's...
Yeah, fairly new addition to gaming, but already sort of an instant classic.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, the first time you're playing a platformer, it, you know, may not be considered, you know, a comfort game.
Yeah, I guess it's true. If you don't know what to expect and just falling in the bottomless pits all the time, that that might not be the most comforting. But again, we're talking about, you know, things that are replayable here. And yeah, there are a lot of Mario games or Sonic games or titles like Shovel Knight.
Yeah, platformers in general.
Which I don't know if I actually would even call Shovel Knight a platform, but obviously it's an action game with lots of platforming in it. So
I don't know, I'm not gonna... I could call it a platformer. It's like a 2D.
His name is Shovel Knight. Yeah, not Jumping Knight.
It's like, you know, there's
digs and hits things with his shovel.
Sure, but there's quite a bit of platforming in that, definitely.
Yes, there is. But it's like, I mean, if you look back at the NES, and not to get too far off topic here, you know, almost every game, you know, involved jumping and attacking in some way.
True.
So for me, I tend to categorize, you know, Mega Man and Castlevania, even though they have heavy platforming elements, as you know, action games with a, you know, heavy platformer emphasis, but and Shovel Knight I would kind of put along the same thing, but because it does have that great you know, bouncing mechanic with a shovel, where you are using your jump as an offensive weapon as well as to navigate, I'm not going to argue with you too much on this point here.
Yeah, and I mean, there are the tools that you get in the game, like the punch, where you punch through dirt and stuff like that. So, but anyway, yeah, just platformers in general, I think, can definitely lend themselves well to a comfort game. I guess the reason why it's comforting for me is because, well, with Super Mario World specifically, you know, I've played it for a long time. I'm good at it. I pretty much have, you know, a lot of it memorized. I have a lot of it memorized. And it's just a great game overall. There's, you know, it's got a perfect balance of, you know, the mechanics are really solid. It's got a lot of, like, as we mentioned, the, you can be very versatile in your in the paths that you want to play through. And
it's a good word, versatile. Yeah, it is.
I think I've said versatile quite a bit. Well, you know, it's not really considered so much of a platformer, but another one of those style of games, which coincidentally happens to be a Super Nintendo game that I also find comforting, would be Mega Man X.
Ah, it's another excellent choice.
Haha, I see what you did there. But, yeah, Mega Man X, it's another one of those games where, you know, there's the boss order that, you know, you want to...
Well, I think it's what you were saying before with that, you know, magic versatility.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's a game that you can take the bosses in whatever order you want. You can go off the beaten path and try to get these other items. You can challenge yourself if you want. You know, once you've you know, become familiar with how things are supposed to work, you'd be like, okay, I'm going to try beating him with a, you know, even more difficult weapon just because I can.
I think something that both Super Mario World and Mega Man X have in common is that they're both very fluid. And I think that definitely works.
Sure, this is true.
Yeah, I think that definitely works.
Got
with
a good, good rhythm to them.
Exactly. I think that definitely adds to the comfort factor of the game if you've played it before, and, you know, if you can do it well, I think it makes it even more comforting because,
yeah, I mean, I think that's something,
it's sort of reassuring that, you know, in a way.
The best games of those types, of both platformers and you know, character driven action games, have is this great rhythm and pacing, and you know, you know when it feels good to attack, or it feels good to jump, or it feels good to deal with an obstacle. And that's, I think, what really separates the good games of those types from the also-rans. And so I guess it shouldn't be any surprise that you know, the ones that do it really well are the ones that you want to come back to time and time again.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's all about feeling good. You know, you want to mm-hmm. feel comforted while you're playing, you know, a game that, you know, you're playing a game for whatever reason to, you know, feel comforted. So that good feeling is what you're looking for, right? So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Like you said, yeah, that absolutely. Pattern recognition makes it easy for you to, you know, recognize when certain things are going to happen, or if you're feeling more ambitious, to, you know, go away from that path.
I guess just the last one that I would bring up, and, you know, it's kind of different from the previous ones I've mentioned. They've all been, you know, very low-key, kind of, you know, laid-back, relaxing adventure games in one form or another. You know, whether you're, you know, exploring in Chrono Trigger or in Link to the Past or, you know, straight-up text adventuring in Ace Attorney. But my next game would be Final Fight, which, you know, like the ones you just brought up, is also a Super Nintendo title. And, you know, sometimes it's just very comforting to go and want to punch a bunch of dudes in the face and smash them into the concrete, or grab them and fly through the air in a leaping pile driver and crush them, you know, beneath their gang friends on the pavement below.
Yes.
And, And I think it actually, it's for a lot of the same reasons that you were talking about with Mario World and Mega Man. And that is that it just has, you know, this really great rhythm you're able to get into. And, you know, the gameplay is pretty darn simplistic. You know, you really only have to worry about guys hitting you in your face or hitting you from behind. All you have to do is kind of, you know, turn and face the right direction and punch them there. But it's just done so well. And because it has that really, really simple combo system, where you can, you know, punch a couple of times and then throw the guy behind you. And, you know, so like this dance you do with the enemies, it just flows really, really smoothly. And you know, over the years, I've played it countless times on both Game Boy Advance and the Super Nintendo, as well as on you know, competing systems as well. But it just because it, you know, there's something about it for me that makes it really easy to get into the you know, rhythm of the fighting, I would say. And so I'm always able to just keep going back to it. And you know, that's one that's like, well, I'm really having a bad day. Someone's got to be punched in the face, so might as well be these guys who kidnapped the mayor's daughter. So that is certainly one of my top picks.
Yes.
For a comforting video game.
Yes, I learned of the many joys of Final Fight as a Nintendo Power intern. And
yes, and it goes back to our good friend Cody Travers.
Yes.
Who you brought up at the beginning of the podcast.
Yes, indeed. I am now proud to say that Mayor Mike Hager is one of my personal idols, and I aspire to be like him every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have any more comfort games to mention, or you think this topic is all wrapped up?
I think we've given the listeners out there quite a bit of what we had to say on the topic.
Well, in that case, we've pretty much finished the show, but there is still time for a dramatic reading. This time from the back of the box of the NES game, Commando. Commando, Super Joe, and use your skill on a highly secret mission, challenging the evil Empire Army in fierce guerrilla warfare. Super Joe and your skill, armed only with Super Joe's rifle and unlimited ammunition, plus a hand grenade that requires replenishing. Your assignment, find and destroy, stopping attempts to dominate the world's population and resources. You must skillfully control Super Joe's venture into a deep, unexplored jungle region. Surprisingly, you and Super Joe find the enemy behind iron walls, on bridges to cross, and in trucks and jeeps that try to ram Super Joe.
Spoilers.
Can Super Joe and you carry out this reckless, almost impossible mission?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Well, it does sound tough, but I think that maybe, somehow, we can pull it off.
Bravo. Bravo. I truly, truly can't wait to hop in my Jeep with Super Joe and take out some baddies in Commando. Well, that's it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us on PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow The Hoff on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and I'm at MoldyCarton. Feel free to email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and if you like the podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you give us a rating on iTunes.
Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, the Codemaster,
Yo, yo.
And our good friend, Beautiful Joe.
Here's your go-go, baby!
We will see you next time.